Strongholds is the title of the message for this morning. Breaking Strongholds. A famous preacher who worked for many years listed some of the problems that he helped people get through. And in fact, he called these problems the Hall of Human Hurts. And he listed them, and I would like to read them for you as he listed them. Death of a loved one, divorce or broken relationships. He's helped people with natural disasters, fires and storms and hurricanes and earthquakes and floods. He's helped people through tragic accidents. He helped people through bombings and assassinations, terrorism, and through many bouts of physical sickness, and those that are terminal and just any kind of sickness. He has helped people in those areas. Loss of limb, blindness, deafness, loss of speech, career disasters, ruined professions, unfair terminations, physical, emotional, sexual abuse, financial collapse, bankruptcy, rejection, abandonment, injustice, exploitation, shame, public embarrassment, imprisonment. Raise your hand if you've never had anything like this happen to you. Any of these things on the list. Let me see your hand. Don't raise your hand, because you will not be telling the truth. If you visit Oakwood College, I'm told that in the cafeteria there's a plaque. A plaque with the names of people who have worked there who have been successful. I've been told by more than a few people that my name is on that plaque. I worked in the cafeteria when a student at Oakwood College. But the plaque does not tell the whole story. You see, when I worked at Oakwood College in the cafeteria, I was fired. My services were no longer needed. I was let go. And the boss hired his nephew in my place. I was hurt. If you've ever been fired, you know that it hurts. But the Lord must have put this in me, because it's not of me. As I continued going into the cafeteria, I was always courteous and cordial. The nephew didn't work out. And so they hired two people to do the job that I did. And by the next semester, as I was coming in and out of the cafeteria, they asked me to please come back. And I went back, and there was never even a hint of me being removed again. I say that story and I share that in the first service, but I honestly think, and I'll be honest with you, I think I get a little joy out of telling that story. I've always been like this. And in fact, I generally have people that have problems with me because of that, but they really shouldn't. I never look like I'm doing that much work. I've had that wherever I work. Sometimes I don't say much. Sometimes people think nothing's getting done until after I leave. And I had that same issue in the military. I've had it everywhere I've been. And I think they found that out at Oakwood Cafeteria also. The famous preacher that I listed all of the things that he'd help people with is Robert Schuller. Many of you are familiar with Robert Schuller, the pastor of the Crystal Cathedral. He tells the story of being in a class where his professor told him to forget about being a writer. And he got an F in his class in English. And you know how funny that is, since Dr. Schuller has written dozens of books and is a prolific writer. Anyone here ever been hurt? Every week we have been singing Jesus, Your Name. One of the verses, the first verse specifically, says, Jesus, Your Name will break every stronghold. That's really not a word we use anymore, stronghold. Now, I'd venture to say that many of you sing that and are not sure what in the world is a stronghold. So I thought I would talk about that today. It'll be similar to something that I talked about several weeks ago. It only turned into this because as I was examining the text, it came to speak to this point. So I'm going to say some things that I said similar to a few weeks ago. Jesus, Your Name will break every stronghold. What's a stronghold? 2 Corinthians 10, if you'll turn there just briefly. Scripture that was read, verse 3 and 4, I'd like to key in on just for a moment. I'm going to read that 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, and while you're turning there, I'm going to read. Now, this is what the, if you have one of the old King James versions, you will find the word stronghold. If you have the New International Version and many of the American versions, you won't find the word stronghold, and that's why it doesn't resonate with us, because we don't see it anymore. But this is what the old King James Version says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There it is. In the Bible, in the King James Version. Let me read a more modern version and listen to what it says. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. That word is a little more familiar. Fortresses. So strongholds are fortresses. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 was saying, and I know there was a discussion in Sabbath school about worldly weapons, but Paul is saying that worldly weapons are useless in the warfare in the spirit. And that in the spiritual world, the weapons that we ought to be more concerned about are the weapons of truth, righteousness, and love. Those are the weapons that really work. Those are the weapons that can conquer evil and win hearts. Paul is confident that if you have these divine weapons, it can destroy every stronghold. And in essence, what he was saying. But today, we would probably say that strongholds, and I quote this from a book entitled Bondage Breaker, which is a classic by Neil T. Anderson, who's not Adventist but has some good things to say. He speaks about strongholds as defense mechanisms. We would remember that probably more so today. And he says that these defense mechanisms are things like denial or the refusal to face the truth, fantasy, that desire to escape, emotional insulation, the withdrawal to avoid rejection, regression, reverting to less threatening times, displacement, taking frustration out on others, and projection or blaming others, rationalization, making excuses for poor behavior, pride and prejudice, and you can probably find some other kinds of defense mechanisms that we use. And sometimes I am of the belief that Christians, because we have given our hearts to Christ, believe that we are no longer battling with strongholds. But I'm here to tell you we are. And that when we become Christians, we do not suddenly push the clear button and all of the negative things that we have go away. We still have strongholds or fortresses that need tearing down. I'd like to share with you one that we need to tear down. This is not my idea, but it's a good one. From Neil Anderson, he says, and I'd like to quote, he's worked with thousands of people with all kinds of problems, similar to what Dr. Shuler may have run into. And this is what he had to say. He says, I can testify that unforgiveness, I'm quoting, is the major reason people remain in bondage. I was intrigued by that. And I wanted to explore that some more. And so I would like for you to break the stronghold. You say, well, why do you preach this in an Adventist church? No Adventist deals with the issue of unforgiveness. I'm not sure who I'm talking to, but the Lord told me to preach this today. Stephen Covey. How many are familiar with Stephen Covey? Great writer. Good. If you're in the business world, you certainly need to read things by Stephen Covey. In his Seven Habits of Highly Effective Families, he says this. If you have a pencil, you need to be right. You need to write this. This is really good. He says that you will always be a victim until you forgive. Y'all didn't get that. That went right on by you. Did it go by you? You will always be a victim until you forgive. And you know, that's still important for us as Christians today. We, because of the world we live in, we bring so much with us. This world gets worse and worse, and racism and terrorism and alcoholism and sexual perversion and crime and war and abuse of every kind. A lot of it, and some of it, is heaped upon us. And when it does, we carry it and find it very, very difficult to forgive when it's happened to us. You say, well, what about people that do you wrong? We shouldn't accept their behavior, and I don't believe we should accept their behavior. We shouldn't condone it. But we deal with people, even people who have done wrong, we have to affirm the fact that people are worth something because they were made by God. And because of that, then we ought to forgive them. And when we forgive them, we free them from defending themselves. You will always be a victim until you forgive. Forgiveness is a very real issue. Have you ever lent any money? That'll cause you to need to forgive, especially when you don't get it back, and especially if it's family. My recommendation is that you be very careful. I said in the first service that you shouldn't lend family, but that's probably inaccurate. There's sometimes that's the only people that'll come to your rescue. In fact, my wife and I shared this with my Sabbath school class. My wife and I have a rule that we do not lend any money unless we can be assured that we would be able to absorb it. In other words, that money, we lend it with the idea that it's not coming back. So we don't lend a whole lot. That'll really keep you together, because you don't worry about it. Once you've given it, then it's all over. If it comes back, okay. Because when you lend money, you know what happens when people don't pay you? They'll start ducking you. And get to hiding from you. Or if not, then they'll come and they will be friends with you and look you in the eye. And you say, well, how in the world can they smile at me knowing that they got my money and they're not saying anything about my money? You know you've said that. Come on, you know you have. How can they look me in the face knowing they owe me money, acting like nothing's going on? And you know that can go on for years, and that's the only thing you see when you see that person. Then who becomes the victim? You. You become the victim. In fact, I go back to Stephen Covey's quote, "You will always be a victim until you," what everybody? "Till you forgive." Remember that. In fact, the person may forget they even borrowed money from you. And you're still holding on to that. So if you worried that you may not give it back, well, then don't loan it. Because it may cause an estrangement. Years ago when I was a chaplain in the military, why forgiveness is so important. I married this couple. They were a little older. It's about their third marriage. I gave them marital counseling. They reluctantly accepted because they'd been married before, felt that, you know, really probably didn't have much to share with them. But the Lord worked that out, because in that counseling session, which was a requirement in the military at the time, I asked questions about family. And whenever you're getting married, if you're marrying for another time, you can be sure that you will have connections with the other family. You have to discuss that. So I discussed those kinds of issues with them. And in the process of that, I discovered that the gentleman had been estranged from his son for over 20 years. So the counseling went in that direction. And I really felt that he was not ready to get married until he rectified the estrangement. Now, you may not agree with that. You may think that's not connected. But one of the things that I say when couples, when you're looking for a mate, one of the things you want to look for is a forgiving spirit. Never marry anyone that does not have a forgiving spirit. Do not. Why do I say that? Because you, as soon as you get married, you're going to have to forgive one another. Come on, am I telling the truth? Come on, say amen. Somebody say amen. You know I'm telling the truth. So if you have somebody that who cannot forgive, who holds it and holds it, you're really in trouble. And I was pleased to direct the man toward to make reconciliation to his son. He had to make that move. See, he had to have that spirit. See, you have to kind of swallow that pride. He made reconciliation, and I was happy to marry him and his new bride, and his son was there after all those years. I've never met a man so happy in all his life. The Lord just directed it, and the Lord knew that because he was the victim. Break the stronghold of unforgiveness. I read in my studies, it says, an offense becomes an opportunity to apologize. Now, that's hard. That's hard. An offense becomes an opportunity to apologize. And what I've discovered, even in the church of God, some of us, we keep clutching our hurts to our bosom as if the injury to us is precious. We hold on to the hurt as if it's some kind of possession that we really don't want to let go. I've experienced, not here at Fallbrook, and I used to ask myself, now, why would a person stay in an abusive relationship? You know, you've said the same thing. You've asked those same kinds of things. And I have discovered that for some people, they want to be in that because that has become a prized possession. I've said it. Some of you may have said it. I can forgive, but I can't forget. Sometimes you have to be careful. That may be another way of saying I really haven't forgotten. And then finally, and this is an area that I have to pray about. You may have not have this issue, but I have to pray about it. Sometimes the more sensitive persons can be the person that's always looking for a slight. Sometimes I am convinced that's why people just go from church to church, and they'll be going from church to church as long as they're at church. Devil, make sure that person comes and sees you first. You'll always have a slight. You know something? And that's why I say I have to pray. Because every Sabbath, as several hundred of you march past the door and some share words and whatever, you can be sure that someone has put their foot in their mouths and said something that they weren't supposed to. Can you imagine what it would be like as a pastor if you took a slight? Everything that's said at the door was something negative toward you. Can you imagine what it would be? I would be a basket case. I could not make it one Sabbath. Most people are not coming to the door and many of them are doing that out of a sense of humor. Many times they don't mean any harm. Sometimes we are too uptight. And as a pastor, you have to maintain your sense of humor. You could not survive at the door for 20 and 30 years. Not everybody's out to get you, so do not drown in your self-pity if you're sensitive. Because it will be very difficult. Now, again, I kind of shared that before several weeks. That would be very difficult to maintain yourself in a church. That's not an Adventist phenomenon. That's a church phenomenon. Because somebody's going to say something silly. Are you with me? You can be sure of that. So how do we break the stronghold of unforgiveness? Well, we do just what the song says. We bring our weakness to the one who has strength, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus loves us with an everlasting love. He loves you and me even when we turn from Him and walk in our own direction. He still loves us. He's righteous and He's holy, and He won't accept our sinful ways, and His justice demands payment, Romans 6:23. But when you put love with that, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit got together in a council and says, Jesus says, I'm going down for Roger. I'm going down for Roger. I'm going down for Greg and Jeanette. I'm going down for them, and I am going to endure the full penalty of their sins and mine. And the demands of justice meets at the cross with love. And you will always be a victim until you forgive. Luke 23, I want you to turn there with me briefly as we close. Luke 23. Saints of God, if you're holding anything in that's been bugging you for years and years, and you can't let it go, it's time to let it go. Luke 23 and verse 34. One of the seven last words of Jesus that's laced through the Gospels. This is one of them in Luke 23. 23 and verse 34. And I'm going to read it. In fact, you can quote it. Then Jesus says, Father, what? What? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus was forgiving the entire known world. Everybody. And then you'll read on, you'll find in that same chapter that Jesus had an encounter with the thief on the cross. The thief cried out for the Lord to remember him. And Jesus says, assuredly I say to you that today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus took time out from his dying to do what? To forgive. So you need to drop that burden right now. Not a soul in here needs to carry that burden one more day. Jesus took time out from his dying to forgive. God loves you. There's a story told by Dr. Dobson. This is a Dr. Dobson day. Betsy mentioned him too. He tells a story about the Krebs. And they had a son named Chris who had special needs. And when Chris was 7 years old, he tells a story about going to pick up his wife at the hospital. She was a nurse. And so they left Chris in the family waiting room. And in the family waiting room was a gentleman in there that was kind of disheveled and didn't have much. You could tell when a person is going through some things. He had that look. His very appearance was of such. So he left Chris in there and stepped out just for a moment to get his wife. And when he came back, Chris was sitting next to the man. And the man was crying and sobbing. So he went up to the man. He just wondered what Chris had done. And so he told the man, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I don't know what Chris did. And the man, he said, I'm sorry if Chris offended you. And he said, offend me? Offend me? He said it twice through his tears. He said, this is the first person that has hugged me in 20 years. I don't have any idea. The story didn't say what burdens he was carrying. That no one had hugged him in 20 years. But I want to let you know that Jesus wants to hug you. He wants to put his arms around you and soothe you and comfort you with the forgiveness that only he can give. I wish I could tell you that you will never be hurt, that you'll never be slighted, that you'll never be ignored, or you'll never be insulted. You will. That is a part of the human experience. But now the Christian, God has asked us, and we're going to hurt, but he is going to ask us to not only hurt, but to forgive. You see, that's the only way we can make it as a church, as the church of God, that we have to learn to forgive one another. Desire of Ages has an interesting thing to say about Luke 23:34. It says, all heaven was filled with wonder when Christ offered the prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a God we serve. Do you think that there's something that you could do that is so bad that God can't forgive you? What kind of God would he really be? Do you think it's something that someone can do to you so bad that God couldn't give you the Spirit to forgive? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. I am not sure, Lord, why this message right now, but it's been preached. You told me to preach it, and I preached it. I don't know who's carrying the baggage of unforgiveness. I don't know who's been carrying it for a long time. I don't know what direction it comes from. I don't know who is directed at. But I do know. I do know, Lord. Stephen Covey was right when he says we'll always be a victim until we forgive. Lord, give us the Spirit of Christ. May we drop, may the wall of the stronghold, the fortress that we have built, at least for unforgiveness, be torn away this very day. And Lord, we're going to bring every thought, this is the Bible's, every thought under subjection, under your will and your way. That's the only way we can make it. We have to have our minds controlled by you. So, Lord, we won't spend all of our lifetime rehearsing something and talking about some of the same things, same slights, over and over and over again. Lord, help us to stop that right now because of you. Lord, because you're not that kind of God. When you save us, you save us. And when we get to the kingdom of God, you're not going to bring up the mess we've done. It's going to be finished. What would heaven be like, Lord, if we just had to rehearse all our hurt and pain? So, Lord, help us right now. Prepare your people for the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And we'd like to conclude our